Shavua Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Shavuot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chav Lamed Zayin, and we're holding right after the Mishnah on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. We're at the Gemara. So yesterday we went through the entire Mishnah of the Perek, and we went through all of the various dinim that would be Nagiya in this Shavuos HaPikudim. And today, we're raising some questions. Rav Acha, Bar Huna, Rav Shmuel, Bereder Rabba, Bar Bachana, and Rav Yitzchak, Bereder Rav Yehuda, all of them were learning in the yeshiva of Rabba, and they were learning Masechet Shavuot. So Rav Kahana met up with them on the way, and he had a question that bothered him. Amar Lahu, look, we learned in the Mishnah that you are chayev for the Shavuot HaPikudim, even if you do it b'mezid. And remember that this was, we learned this out of the fact either that there was no v'ne'alam, or because at least I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, we might have learned it out from the limut from Shavuot Ha'Idut, but it was a whole discussion we had before. But the bottom line is that both Shavuot Ha'Idut and Shavuot HaPikudim, if you do it b'mezid, you knew perfectly well that you were lying, then the din is that you could be chayev nonetheless a shvua, because it doesn't say v'ne'alam, and maybe it's not limited to a shogeg. Now, my question is, in the case of the Shavuot HaPikudim, where I may very well know that you are lying, and I give you hatra'ah, so suppose we have two witnesses that know for a fact that there is a pikudim by him, and before he says that shvua, they warn him that if you're going to take a shvua sheker, so then you're going to be over on the lav and the terah, what's the din? In that case, is he chayev malkus? Is he chayev still only a shvua and not malkus? Is he chayev both malkus and the shvua? What's the din? So do we say, even the chidashuda b'chol ha-terah lo ashkechon mezi demaisi korban? On the one hand, this halacha of the Shavuot HaPikudim is a big chidash, because normally a mezi doesn't bring a korban, only a shogeg brings a korban. And here, the Torah says that you do bring a korban, even b'mezi. So maybe it's saying that that is your onesh, that is your kapara. Bring the korban. It doesn't matter whether you do it b'mezid or b'shogeg, and that's it. You bring the korban, and therefore you don't have to bring, you don't have to be chayev malkus, because the Torah gave you a different kapara here. Or maybe the only time that the Torah was talking about bringing a korban was like everywhere else in the Torah, where you didn't get malkus because there were no edim or there was no hasra that you were chayev malkus. But if there were edim v'hatra'ah, so then maybe in that case, you would get malchus, and in that case, when you get malchus, you don't get a korban, or maybe you'd actually get both. In other words, maybe it's true that you bring a korban one way or the other, because the Torah says it doesn't matter if it's been mazed or not. And then we have the standard chiyuv besides that, which is the chiyuv of malchus in the event that there was a hatra'ah from Eidim. So it's possible that you'd be high of both. So we have a three-way question. If I give you hatra'ah, on a Shavuot HaPikudim, on a Shavuot HaPikudim, Rashi says it's not negia, because I will never be able to give a hatra'at vadai. Machlokas Rashi tells us why. But in any event, the question of it is on a Shavuot HaPikudim. Three-way possibility. The Torah gave us the kapora of a korban under any and all circumstances, even if there are edim and hatra'ah. Possibility one. Possibility two, the Torah only gave us the chiyuv of the korban where there is no hatra'ah and malkut, but if there is hatra'ah and malkut, then you get the normal mezid, which is hatra'ah and malkut, or perhaps they're two completely different things. You would get malkut, you would get hatra'ah, if in the case of hatra'ah, and you would be chayev a korban also. So, these talmidim by Rabbi Yeshiva, they answered Rav Kahana, and they said to him, look, it seems pretty clear. Tanina, the Braita said to Feresh, that chamurai men Shavuot HaPikudim, so we were learned in the Braisa that in general, a Shavuot HaPikudim is more chomer than a Shavuot HaEdut, because you'd be chayev malkus when it comes to a Shavuot HaPikudim, and for shogeg, you would be chayev an asham as opposed to just a cheapo, the carbon oil of a yored, an asham, has to be worth a minimum of kesef shkalim. And that's much more money than you'd have to necessarily pay for a carbon oil of a yored, which could be you'd be paying almost nothing. You can't afford it. Now, since it says over here in this braita, you'd be chayev as dona malkot. That's what it says. I mean, we know that that is certainly, there is such a din, and it would be in the case, of course, michlal da atrebe. We'd be talking about a case where you got hatra'ah. But note, it doesn't say anything about a korban. It says that you're chayev malkos. Doesn't say that you're chayev a korban. And that implies that indeed bemazed, in a case where there were edim and hatra'ah, it would only be makot and not korban. Makot in the korban mal. And why would we say that that makes it more chomer than a korban ha'edut where you are chayev, even bemazed on a korban? Because obviously, nechel elinish, the mighty korban, lo vilke. Person would much rather bring a korban than to have to go through malchus, which is a very chomer punishment. So you see from here that apparently you do not bring a korban, and that's the answer to Rivkana's question. In the event that there's hasra'ah, then the chiev on the mezid, the hatra'ah brings you malkot, and because of that, there is no bringing a korban where you're already getting malkot. Amalu Rava Bariti, I don't see how this proves anything. I mean, it's very possible that mantan is a don shvata pikadon on itana kapara. Could be that this is going according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon, remember, he learned out before. Remember, he disagreed with the whole idea that it doesn't say vanelam, because he says, why should it say vanelam? It only said vanelam in the cases where we were talking about the carbon oil of a yored, where all the other cases were vanelam, and this one wasn't vanelam. And as far as learning out what halach is b'shuras ha-pikadon, we could learn it out from the lashon of me'ila, which is the same as for a carbon me'ila. And the carbon me'ila is only b'shogeg, not b'mezid. So we wouldn't even learn it out from the comparison to shvuat ha'edut. So according to Rabbi Shimon, what's the question over here? If it's going to leave it to Rabbi Shimon, so then of course he holds that it wasn't talking about mezid, it was only talking about b'shogeg. So the whole Rav Kahana question disappears, but maybe in a chinami. According to the Rabbanan, Ali ben Rabbanan, he would maybe bring also a korban. But this Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold your chayav a korban b'shogeg, b'mezid. Amarlu Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana says, listen, you don't have to say it's Rabbi Shimon. You guys are misquoting the Braita anyway, you know. The whole Braita that you tried to bring it from, you don't need to say the Braita is Rabbi Shimon. You don't know what you're talking about. That's not the correct use in the Braita. As a matter of fact, Ana Tanina, I was the one who's been teaching everybody that Braita, and I'll tell you what the correct use is. Ochi Tanina la. Echad Zedona ve'echad Shegagata Hashem b'kesef shkolim, and that Braita never mentioned a word about a chiev of Malka, so it's nothing to do with our discussion at all. And, okay, so you'll ask me, so why do you say it's more chomer? You say that it's more chomer than the Shuras Eidas, they're both a chiev of carbon. Yes, but still, look at the difference. The Iluhata, if you're talking about a carbon on Shuras Eidas, you can get away with a chatas that costs you 5 cents. Basically, it could be worth a danka. A danka is only a sixth of a dinner, and therefore it doesn't have to, a sixth of a dinner is a ma. So a single ma, it would buy you. And over here, it's like very expensive. You have to pay the amount that the Torah defines as the minimum to pay for carbon asham. And that was an asav with two asham full to shikle kesev. So therefore, we say that it's more chomer. But so I don't understand. Can't we, according to what Rav Kahana understands in the Braita? So what it said in the Braita was, this was his girsa, not the Rabbi Shimon. His girsa completely ignores the chiyuv of malchus. So doesn't that imply that ein achinami, there is no chiyuv of malchus? Let's learn out from Rav Kahana's own girsa the answer to his question. If it says that b'mezid, your chayev only the carbon, and it doesn't mention malchus, so then mashma, there is no malchus, no? and that the only difference is the difference in the value of the how much it costs to buy the carbon asham, which is worth chomor, versus the kula of how much it costs to purchase a chatas of a carbon oil of a yard. No, okay, you can't learn. How can you learn from this? Maybe the price is not talking about a case that there was asra and edim. It just says in the case that it was done b'mezid. It doesn't say that we're talking about where we had edim and asra. So we weren't talking about that case. It's no right. Now there's a whole other lushan that occurs over here, which is not very clear because this doesn't seem to be another lushan of what was before. And it's not clear that this is the correct girsa. But anyway,
it out before. Rebbe told us to ignore it.
What, the last time we learned it?
Yeah,
because it doesn't make any sense. Toshma. So let's see if we can learn from our Mishnah what the answer is to Rav Kahana. Remember that Rav Kahana has raised the question, what is the halacha in the event that you do have edim v'hatra'a, and that there's going to be, therefore, the potential of avchiyah v'malkus? Would it be malkus and not carbon? Would it be carbon and not malkus because the Torah specified, in this case, carbon? Or might it be carbon and malchus? That was his question. So let's take a look at the Mishnah and see if we can bring a raya from the Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah that by Shvuat HaPikadon, Ein Chayavina Shigigata, that if you made an honest mistake and you really thought that you didn't owe the guy any money, so you're not Chayav on the Shogeg. And what are you Chayav if you knew for a fact that you were lying? Ma Ein Chayavina Zidona, Hashem, because of shkalim, that's all that it gives an option for. It doesn't say you would be chayev also malchus. I mean, I'm assuming that the Mishnah's question was, what are you chayev on a zadain even in the worst of circumstances? No, even including in a case my love, even bida atruba. Nah, what makes you think that? We've been talking about the chiyuvim of korbanas. We're not interested in telling me the overall halacha. It's true all over the Torah. Then on a lav, that you get malchus on your that you, lav, if you have edus on, you get malchus. So what we're talking about. So maybe the Mishnah is not talking about a case of hatra'ah. It's only talking about mezid. Just because we talk about mezid, that shouldn't trigger immediately in your mind, oh, if it's mezid, must be there were edim and hatra'ah. Not so. Okay, well, how about a braita? So in this braita, so it's not clear, actually, what the first part of the braita was. Rashi says he is not sure what this is referring to, bichlal, because what we know about this particular girsa does not work in our Gemara. But it was part of a braita, which apparently we have lost the first part, that was trying to show that something that would be true about a nazir tameh would also be true about Eshuas HaPikaton. Well, it's not clear what that is. So, but in any event, just read the last pure part of the Braita, which we do know. Lo yimamarta benazir tamein, because a nazir tamei, that's different. That's because it's possible to get malchus if you're a nazir tamei. But when it comes to Shvuat HaPikaton, you can't learn out from a nazir tamei to Shvuat HaPikaton, because you do not get malchus on the case of a Shvuat HaPikaton. Now look, if it says that the case of the Nazir would get Malkus, obviously we're talking about that there's an Edim and Hatra'ah. And it's saying, as opposed to the case of Shvuat HaPikaton, where you do not get Malkus. In, obviously in the same case, otherwise the statement makes no sense. So in a case where Nazir would be getting Malkus, the Shvuat HaPikaton does not get Malkus. So you see that what you do is you bring your carbon and that's it. Only your carbon, because it says you don't get malchus. Yeah, but you know what ein elokim may mean? Ein elokim might mean, actually, that you don't get away with malchus. In other words, you don't just get malchus and that allows you to get your kapara with malchus. What it might mean is ein elokim eino niftar b'malkot. It's not enough to get malchus, you're not out of your chiyuvim. You're still going to have to bring a korban. So I understand. So what are you saying? So in the case of the nazir, you would not have to bring a korban? That's ridiculous. That's this week's parsha. A Nazir Tamei does have to bring a korban, even if he gets malchus for being the Tamei. So it wouldn't make any sense. You're saying Nazir is different. It's not different. The Nazir Tamei isn't niftar b'malchus. The Pasuk says openly that you have to bring a korban. Ah, come off it, man. Over there, he brings a korban. Has nothing to do with his being over on the Naziris. He has to bring a korban because otherwise his Naziris, his new Naziris is not going to start. So the Maisei Korban, Kiyekada Techel Ola Naziris Batira. That's all we're talking about. We're talking about Potter in terms of what he did wrong. That's something else. So over there, he's Chaya Malkus, maybe for being over on his Naziris. He does not bring a korban for being over on his Naziris. So there's absolutely no reason for us to say that it has to mean that he would get Malkus and not korban. All right. So anyway, we've been talking about Rav Kahana now. And the question is that when the Rabbanan that Rav Kahana had met and that they were learning by Rabbah, and they went ahead and they told over the question that Rav Kahana had raised to them, they told it over to Rabbah. And Rabbah said to them, I don't understand what you guys are thinking. You're asking about what the case would be if the guy got Hatra'ah and he swore anyway that he did not ever get a pikadon or whatever it was, halva or whatever it was, right? But don't you understand that what that implies is, you're telling me that there are Edim here, and the Edim are telling you, listen, we know you're lying, you better not lie. Well, for heaven's sakes, if the Edim know that he's lying, so then that means it's not going to do him any good to deny it in court. Because the same Edim who are giving him the Hatra'ah, and they're telling him, now don't you dare deny this with a Shvua because you're going to be Chaya Malkus, they are also Edim to the fact that he does owe this money, right? Because otherwise they can't give him Hatra'ah. All they could say is, if you don't know, that's Hatra'ah Tzafik. So, don't you understand, says Rabbah, that that's a contradiction in terms. If, when you would be Tovea somebody, and you would say, give me the money that you owe me. And it makes absolutely no difference whatsoever whether the guy says, yes, I owe you the money, or the guy says, no, I don't owe you the money. When would that be that it would make no difference? That you have testimony. You have witnesses that the guy does owe you the money. So if it makes no difference what the man is saying to you, how would he be chayev a shvua sapikadam? What good is making a shvua? I swear I don't owe you the money. Hey, buddy, we couldn't care less whether you swear you do, you don't. Makes no difference. We have witnesses that you owe the money. So we're not interested in what you have to say. You can shut your mouth, and whatever you say makes no difference. We'll get the money out of the bezdin, right? So therefore, Taina's Rabba, your whole question is absurd. Because you're making an assumption that there is a case, a possible case, where witnesses would testify that you owe money and they give you hatra'ah not to swear, and that then you would be chayev for swearing. Your swearing is irrelevant. So the case that you're talking about is an absurd case. Therefore, are you trying to say, says Rabbi Michlal, dechi lo atrabe? What if they hadn't given him asra? And there were Edim who knows that he had the pikada. See, he would be chayev. If he swore, he'd be chayev a korban. If he swore. It's nonsense. Kviras dvarim bi'almohu. All that he's doing is just blabbing. He's saying, I don't owe you money. Okay, right. You don't. No, I swear I don't owe you money. You know, buddy, what do you care what you swear? Here's the witnesses. I'm going to court and getting the money out of you. So why in the world are we discussing a nonsensical case? Your whole question is built on absurdity. Wait, in other words, so what is Rabbah hold? That makes it clear that according to Rabbah, if a person would make a shvuas ha-pikadon on cash, pikadon, halva'ah, aveda, whatever the case is, against which there are witnesses that are ready to come to court, and they will be able to get it out of him in court, so then since his denial is just nonsense and has no legal implications because we couldn't care less about his denial. So Rabbah seems to be saying that by definition he would be putter because his denial is irrelevant. Omale Rav Chanina l'Rabba, you know what? I can prove that you're right. Tanya de Messiah Elacha, take a look at this Braita, and it seems to be saying that it corroborates what you said. It's saying that in the event that there were Edim, and your Hakhasha makes no difference to us, that we would never be able to be Mechayev you on that Shvua, because it's an, I mean, maybe we'll be Chayev you on a Shvua Shav, maybe we'll be Chayev you on a Shvua Sheker, but we cannot be Mechayev you for a Shvuat HaPikadon. All of these cases, remember, that we've been talking about throughout, it's always possible you'll be Chayev for a different type of Shvua, Shvuas Pitoy, whatever. All we're talking about is a specific Shvua that we've been dealing with. So now we're talking about Shvuat HaPikadon. A Shvuat HaPikadon that seeks to pater oneself from something that there are Edim who are going to recover it anyway, Rabbah is saying doesn't mean anything. So Rav Chanina said, I'll prove that to you. Take a look at this Braita. It says in the Torah, V'kichesh ba. What is V'kichesh ba? Ba means the whole thing. So Prat l'modele echad ben achim. So if you admit, let's say you have two brothers who are both suing you, right? So one of the brothers comes over, he says you owe $100. And you say to him, yes, it's true. But when the other brother comes over, you say, no, it's not true. Or you've got two partners that are being toveah with you. And you tell one of them, yes, it's true. And the other one you don't deny. So v'nishbal sheker. And then, so that's not included because it has to be v'kichesh ba. Then the pasuk continues on v'nishba al sheker. What does that mean? That is as opposed to a case where somebody had borrowed money and now there's a contract that attests to the fact that that money is owed. And that contract is going to be able to recover the money in court, regardless of whether this guy agrees that he owes it or not. Or prat l'oved be'edim. It sounds exactly like Rabbah's case, right? In the event that it's recoverable in court because there's a contract for it, or in the event that there are edim, and therefore they will be able to recover it, in that case, prat v'nishba al sheker, as opposed to a case where it makes no difference if he's nishba al sheker. Omarlei, so Rabbah said, look, it's very nice, and I'm grateful to you for trying to bring me a raya, but this is not a good raya. What? Sounds like exactly the same case. No, says Rabbah. Imi shumha lotesayan. You want to try to bring me a proof from here? I'll have to explain to you that you're misunderstanding what the case is here. It's not talking about my case. You know what it's talking about? Not that the guy swears I didn't borrow and there's witnesses against him, or the guy swears I didn't borrow and there's a contract against him. He is saying, no, I agree. I did borrow money. I do have a pikadon from you guys. But you say I borrowed it in front of Edim, I didn't. Or you say I borrowed it with a shtar, I didn't. Okay, you didn't. Do you owe me the money? Yeah, yeah. Will you pay me the money? Yeah, yeah, I'll pay you the money. But I don't like your saying that I borrowed in front of witnesses. Okay, fine, I'll buy you a drink instead. Just pay me the money. So that's what it's talking about. It's talking about a frivolous discussion in which it makes absolutely no difference. If you're ready to pay me back, I really couldn't care less if you're paying me back, saying that it's your good heart and it's not the contract. Fine, it's your good heart. Just show me the cash. So if that's the case, it's just a meaningless discussion. The guy said, laviti, but lo laviti b'shtar, or laviti v'lo laviti b'edim. Now, I know you're going to say, I don't understand. Why would you learn such a weird pshat in the Braita? If I'm trying to bring you a raya, the pashtus of the Braita is certainly talking about your case, Rabbah. What are you making it into this weird case? I'll tell you why, says Rabbah. There's no choice. It's got to be a weird case. Because look, you might. Take a look at that first part of the Braita. You tell me that you make some sense out of that first case. Makes no sense. It said, look how it started. V'kichesh ba prat l'modeh le'echad min ha'achim o le'echad min ha'shutafim. So you admit something to one partner, yeah, Leon, I owe you money, but when it comes to the other brother, the other shutaf, you say, no, I don't owe you any money. So tell me exactly what the case is, okay? I mean, Hefidani, did you agree to the first brother? You said, okay, I owe you. I only owe you half, but I owe you. I don't owe the other brother. In a sense. So, okay, so then that means that he is a complete kvirat maman to the other brother that he does owe money to. So then why is he putter? What's the difference? So now he's only going to swear to one brother, not the other. But the bottom line is he's still going to have to swear, right? Elalav, I mean, that can't be the case, therefore. So we have no choice other than to understand that the Vekicheshba is once again talking about a frivolous claim. That's the point. So the Amrile, both of these brothers, they told him, you borrowed money from us. And the guy says, no, I did not borrow money from you two. I borrowed from only one of you. Okay, how much did you borrow? The whole amount. Okay, so you're ready to pay us back? Yes. But you, the other brother, didn't lend me the money. Only you. Okay, fine. Only I lent me the money. Can you pay us the money, please? So that means that essentially the whole thing was a frivolous discussion. We're arguing about whether should I say thank you to both of you or should I say thank you to one of you. I mean, what's the difference? Bottom line is, in monetary terms, you're willing to pay us both back, right? Okay. So then if that's the case, it's kfiras dvarim biyama. It's just talking about meaningless points. But if you need to admit to me that the only way to understand the first part of the braita is that it's talking about things that have no meaning, minoresha kvirat dvarim, apparently the seifa that analyzes the same idea from v'nishba l'sheker is also talking about kvirat dvarim, which means that we're not talking about whether I owe you money, we're just talking about whether I owe you money because there are edim, or I owe you money because there's a shtar, or I owe you money just because I admit I owe you money. Which is completely irrelevant, as long as you're ready to pay the money. Therefore, says Rabbah, it seems, although I appreciate the effort to bring the raya to me, but lemaisa, you cannot bring a raya from here.
Well, why is it important, Libby, to have a ration as safe about kfir starting the alma to teach that din this is such a thing? Why spend time on this? If it's a meaningless thing.
What do you mean?
It's a meaningless thing?
Yeah, no, is it so poshet? I mean, he's saying that a nishba l'sheker on a tfiyah is only not on the siba of the chiyav and not on the who the chiyav is to, but on the what. That's not a chiddush. These are two separate dinim. One is the siba, is it in terms of edus, is it in terms of shtar, and the other one is to whom. It's telling us that afal pi kein, if the amount of money that they're being sued for has to be given back, so it doesn't matter whether it's to Larry or it's to Leon. It's the same amount of money. And therefore, it's not considered to be a meaningful discussion. Toshma, let's take a look what appears to be a raya against Rab, which is that, according to Rabbah, if we already have a aid that it's a meaningless, it is just kviras dvorim. But take a look at our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a shvuas hapikadon, where you make a mistake, an honest mistake, and you thought that you don't owe it. So eino chayav al shigigata, as we said before. But ma'u chayav al zedona, we did say that there is such a thing as a chiyav on the zada, and what exactly is that chiyav? An asham bekesef shkolim. So now, when it talks about a case of zedona, isn't it talking about even a case where you were found out, meaning that the edim came along and they said, hey, this guy is lying. And you see that even though there are obviously edim here, if they ultimately show up and they tell us that you were lying, that nonetheless, there's a chiyav. But according to Rabbah, if there were edim here all along, then it's a frivolous shvua. No, who said? Look, maybe it's talking about where he himself came along and he admitted that he did it b'mezid. There was no atra'ah, and there were no edim. So what's the problem? Okay, what about this case? Now, this Mishnah we had before, where it says, Hayushte Kite Edim. Now, remember we had it before, it was in the context of Shvuat Ha'edut, not in context of Shvuat HaPikadon, but nonetheless, it has important implications for us over here in Shvuat HaPikadon. Remember the case over there was like this, at the end of the Mishnah that we had before on Lamed Aleph. Hayushte Kite Edim. So over there the case was, we had two totally separate kitot, each one of two edim, and the first kat is kofer, and says, we don't know anything about this testimony, and then the second one is kofer. So we said in the Mishnah, both of them are chayav. Why? Because they could, each one of them was capable of causing the person to have to pay the money back. And since even after the first one was kofer, since they're not associated with each other, it's not going to be impossible for them to show up and now bring testimony. So now the second one can come along and collect. And since they don't come along and collect, instead they swear we don't know anything. So they're chayev. That was the case over there. Now remember that the Gemara there asks on the Mishnah, Bishlamashni'ah techayev. I understand why the second pair is chayev, because the first kat already had said, we don't know anything about it. Okay, so they can no longer be made. And therefore, the second kat is causing the man to lose his ability to recoup his money. I understand that. But the Rishonah, amai mechayev. Why is the first kat chayev if the second kat is still kayam? That was the question that we had over there. So, the question is, Benogia Shvuata Pikadon, apparently, it's exactly the same thing. The person is saying that I don't know anything about it. About what? About the thing that the Edim know about? Because remember, in this case, the man who is saying in court, no, it's a lie. I don't owe him any money. And this person is asking witnesses to please come and to be made against this guy. So now, here's the problem. There's Edim that are sitting right here in front of us, and they are knowledgeable that this Pikadon is in this man's rishus. That means that, according to Rabbah, his denial of the Pikadon is just frivolous, because Rabbah says, as long as there's witnesses to the effect that this is actually owed me, so then we don't take into consideration your kfira. Now, according to Rabbah, the point is that there are witnesses here, and we are saying that, nonetheless, they're chayef for not showing up. For not showing up about what? About a guy who anyway is making a frivolous denial? The denial has no meaning. You see, until now, we thought about this only in terms of whether there's another kat of edim that will allow you to recoup the money. But you also have to look at it from the deeper question, according to Rabbah. According to Rabbah, there is no kfira here. And therefore, the entire discussion is moot. If lamaisa, we have witnesses that this person owes that money, then the kvira is not extant. No, it's talking about that. Obviously, like we answered before, the same answer applies here. Kegon shaita shni'a b'shata kvira rishona krovim b'nishotayam. So remember what the case was. It's not that we had access to these witnesses at that time, because they weren't kosher witnesses, and therefore the money could not have been gotten invested, and therefore the only issue that we have is, if you come and you say that the money is owed, then we recoup the money. If nobody else comes, we're not going to get the money. Even, what's the chiddush? That's rather obvious, because even if nishotayim are gosa sod, ma'odatayim are rov gosa sin lamita, kamashmon hashtamiyat chayeninu v'losh chivit. So currently we don't have any witnesses, and therefore it's a standard case of shvata idut. Okay, how about this case? Tashma. Ba'al habayit she ta'an ta'anat ganav v'pikadon. Remember, in terms of ta'an ta'anat ganav, The word Baal HaBayit in the Pasuk refers to the Shomer. So he is the one that is supposed to be swearing that it was actually stolen from him. So he is Toyin Tanis Gana Bipikadon, and Vinikrav Baal HaBayit El Elohim, and he swears, and then later he admits that actually he stole it himself, and that his Shvua was a lie. Now, Bohu Edim. After that, the Edim come. Now the question is, did they come before or did they come after? So Imat Shalobayu Edim Oda. If the guy admitted that he had lied before the Edim came, then he's not mechuyev to pay kefel for the geneva. Why? Because kefel is a knas, and he was moda on his own that he stole it. So he doesn't pay kefel. What does he pay? He pays the chiyev of keren, chomesh, v'asham, on the shvua that he made that he doesn't owe this money. And he did owe this money. So that would be the standard chiyev of the shvua on kfirat mamon. So that is where he brings his asham gizevot and so on, right? The standard keren chomesh v'asham. If after the Edom arrived, he was Maida, so then he's also going to have to pay tashrume kefel. And in that case, he would be Misham tashrume kefel v'asham. Fine. Now, if the Edom show up afterwards, then that means that the Edom were here. So if Edom are kayam, why is he paying and why is he bringing an asham on kfirat apikadon, which there are Edom that are able to collect? According to Rabbah, if there are Edom, it's a frivolous shvua, because anyway the Edom could have come and collected it. So now you see clearly that Rabbah is wrong. Well, not necessarily. Maybe this case is also a case that the Edom originally were not kosher Edom. Maybe the same thing we said before, like Ravina. They were related by being married to two sisters, and later when the sister died, then they came and they accused the guy of lying. So then that means at the time that he lied, there were no Edom against him. So you can't bring a raya from here. Okay, what about this? Omer le Ravina le Ravashi, have another proof against Rava. Tashma. This was what we brought before. Chamura mimena. Shvuata pikadon. Shechayavin azdonam alkot. Valshigigata asham bekesef shkalim. Now, if it says over here, Yechayev azdona makod, shemidikama loke, apparently there are Edom. If there are no Edom, how could you be Chayev Malkas? And yet it says beferish, and if it was a shogeg, so then you would be Chayev an asham. How could you be Chayev an asham? If there are Edom anyway, according to Rabbah, there is no Chayev of an asham in a case where there are Edom. Omer Rav Mordechai, what's the matter with you? Did you forget? Just half an hour ago, we learned that Rav Kahana told the Chachomim that there is no such Braita, that this is a wrong Gersa, that the Braita never mentioned getting Makos, that there are no Edim. He said, look, I'm the guy who taught this Braita, and this is not how I taught it. You've got it all wrong. Ana Taninala, and I'll tell you what it's supposed to say. V'hochi Taninala. Echad donav, echad shigigata, doesn't say a word about Malkus. It says in either event, you bring an asham, bekesef shkalim, and it was not talking about a case where there were Edom. Okay, listen, I got one more killer about Rabbah, okay? Take a look at this braita. That's the braita we said before. Lo imam arta benazir tome, whatever the first part of the braita was. But what we were saying is you cannot learn out from the din of Nazir Tameh to the din of Shvuat HaPikadon. Why? Because Nazir Tameh is Chomer, because he gets Malkus. Masha'in came b'Shvuat HaPikadon, where he does not get Malkus, right? So now, you tell me what the case is, okay? Menechidami. Idaleka Edim. If we're talking about the Nazir, there were no Edim that saw the Nazir become Tameh. So why would he get Malkus? Obviously, it's Pshita, that there are Edim that are being made that he was mitameh. Okay. And then it says, Masha Enkin Bashwata Pikadon. You do not get Malkus in that case. All right. So now, doesn't that mean you don't get Malkus, but you still are chayev for a korban? That's all that it's saying. In other words, what do these words mean? You don't get Malchus. Either it means, we said, maybe it means it's not enough that he gets Malchus. Fine. Maybe it means literally he doesn't get Malchus. Fine. Whatever it means, I don't care. But it's certainly telling me that you still are chayav a karban, even though there are clearly witnesses. So how can Rabba possibly answer this? I mean, there's no way out of this. There are definitely witnesses here, and it's saying you're definitely chayav a karban for shvuasa b'katan. Now, according to Rabba, if there are witnesses that could collect from you, then your kvira with the shvuasa b'katan is considered to be merely frivolous. Not so? Okay. So this shows that Rabba's wrong. There is no possible way to get out of this. Says the Gemara, you're right. It's not possible to get out of this. To Yufta, the Rabba, to Yufta. This definitely proves that even in the event that something was recoverable by witnesses, if you denied it, you would still be chayiv a shvuasa pikaton. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. Okay. So now Rabba, we're saying, is wrong. And Rabbi Yochanan actually said a fascinating thing. I believe that Rabba is wrong, and that if you're kosher for a moment, even if there are witnesses, you would be chayiv, like we just proved. But in the event that there is a shtar against what you're saying, and the shtar can be presented to court, and we could have collected the money based on a shtar, then you would be putter. What? Why is that? Amar of Papa, what's the difference? I understand. My time is Rabbi Yochanan. If Rabbi Yochanan holds that even if something is recoverable in court, that nonetheless, it's considered to be not just a frivolous shvua, so what's the difference if it's recoverable in court with a shtar? And there he says, no, then it's frivolous. But if there's witnesses, it's not frivolous. I understand, what's the difference? I'll tell you what the difference is. If there's Adim, Adim can always die. In which case, it's important for us to register the kvira against the Adim, because if they're not going to be around to be meyit, then we will not be able to collect. But a shtar is in the safe, and it's just sitting there. And in the event that this guy denies that he owes the money, all we need to do is take out the shtar and collect the money in court, right? What kind of balabatish as far as that? My God. I understand. A shtar can't get burned. A shtar can't get nuclear bombed. I mean, what kind of crazy question is that? Shtar and army. Anything could happen to wreck a shtar too. What are you telling me? Logistical reasons, please. True. Okay. So let's try to find a different reason for how we could make a distinction between money that's going to be recoverable by a shtar, and that is considered to be just a frivolous shvua, versus money that's recoverable with Aiden. We're over there. It's a valid chiev for the shvuas ha-pikata. I'll tell you something. It has nothing to do with logistics. Of course, there's no difference logistically. The reason that Rabbi Yochanan says that you're putter in the case of the shtar is for a completely different reason. Shtar on a she'ibut karkaot is not mechayev you on shvua. That's the problem. Because if there's a shtar, by definition, you could recover the money by taking away real estate, because that's the extra value of a shtar. A shtar creates a she'ibut karkaot. And as we're going to see, we have a pasuk that teaches us that a shvua that's made on a she'ibut on karka is not ever mechayev the chiyuvim of shvua. It's excluded in the pasuk from the dinim of shvuas, as we're going to see. And therefore, a shtar, which is she'ibut karkaot, ein mevi'in korban al kvirat she'ibut karkaot, which is a technicality, and has nothing to do with the logistics. There's another case like that. The other case would be shvuas ha'edus, in the same type of situation. So somebody is mashbia ede karka. You want to bring witnesses to the fact that you own this piece of property. They refuse to testify, claiming they don't know anything about it. In the end, it turns out that shvua was a lie, and they did know. So, Pligi Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, are you chayiv on Shvuat Eidut in such a case or not? So, chad amar chayav, chad amar patur. Now, we don't know which one holds which. It just says either Rabbi Yochanan says you're patur or Rabbi Elazar says you're patur. But we can now figure out which one holds which. Tistayim, the Rabbi Yochanan, it must be Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that you would be putter in such a case from Shuasa Edus. Why? Because since Rabbi Yochanan just told us that if you're kofer in Momon, that there's Edim on your chayev, but if there's a star on your putter, and how did we understand the meaning of that statement, was the way Ravuna Breid Rabbi Yeshua explained it, that in the case of a star, basically, you're talking about making a shvua on a shibut karkos. So you see that according to Rabbi Yochanan, anything that has to do with a shibut karkos, you're not chayev a shvua. In that case, Rabbi Yochanan would say the same thing about the shvua taidut, right? So if the Edim deny that they know the Edus about a karka, they would not be chayev from shvua taidus. Perfect. So now we can learn from our case of Shvuas HaPikadon who said what Pinogea that case of Shvuat Eidut. Tistayem. Okay, fine. So now we know that it's Rabbi Yochanan who says that you would be put on the Shvuas HaEidus on a real estate via. Omele Rabbi Yirmil Rabab. Okay, so now who says what? Now, before we said Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar argue, one said that it would be a chiyuv, one says not. We now prove that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no chiyuv. So that would mean that according to Rabbi Elazar, there is a chiyuv for Shvuas HaEdus on his knowledge of testimony for a piece of property, correct? What is that machlokas based on? I would suggest that actually Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, the Amoraim, argue in the same machlokas as Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, and the Rabbana. Because, look, there's a braita, it says the Tanan, but it's another one of those, you know, as we've said many times, the Mesoros HaShas always goes and changes it when it's a braita to the Tanya, but as we've seen, it isn't really necessary to be so makvin on it. So, HaGozel Satemi Chaveiro. So yeah, this was a Gemara that we discussed this case earlier. Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. Hagozel sadeh michaviro. Somebody stole a field and chases the guy out of the field, and now he's been using the field and been planting on it and so on. And there's a flood. The entire field is now underwater. Ushtafa nahar. And now we know that this guy stole the field. So now there's a chiyav of Eishim v'sagzela. Chayav lahamid lo sadeh, he's going to have to give this guy back a different sadeh to make up for the one that he stole. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The chachamim omrin, why does he have to give it back? He could simply say, here is your field. Areshel chalafanecha. You know, I mean, this is the same field. I mean, what did I do? Did I make off with your field? I didn't make off with your field. The field was here the whole time. Now it's underwater. I didn't put it underwater. So basically, there's no din of giving it back to you in that condition because you can't really steal karka. So, So now, we said, what's good for the machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim about whether you can say, they're arguing about how to be derish kala terekula. Rebbe Eliezer darshins kala terekula through ribuy amiyut. The Rabbana Darshan Kola Tarakula through Klole Uprate. You remember we've done this numerous times recently, so it should be very easy to understand the difference. So remember, if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, and he darshans the Torah in Ribui Umiute, it means that we don't see the Torah as consisting of sets that are defined by members of sets. We just simply take the number of times that the Torah gives us a general ruling and the number of times that it mentions one particular point, which excludes the most unacceptable example of similarities to that case. So that's Ribui Umiyute. So okay, so he says, look, so it says in a pasuk, V'kicheish ba'amito. All right, so that's a replay. The guy lies. He denies that it's owed. Doesn't say what he denied. Whatever he denied. Then it says, specifically, either pikadon or bitzomet yad, or the all those cases that we had, right? So it could be an aveda, it could be a gizela, whatever the case is, he denies owing it. Those are all things that are miyutim. It's giving specific examples as opposed to others. Then it says, Omi kolar sheyishava, whatever a person would swear about. So that's, again, a riboy. Riba, miyut, riba, hakol. So what's the rule? When you have a riba, miyut, riboy, basically, it's just one rule. You stole something? No. You have something on the person. He gave it to you? No. You have something of his. You found it in the street? Irrelevant. You have something of his. That's the riboy. Any and all cases. So what was it? Rabba Marba called Mile. So what was the point of saying an example? Ah, that's to tell me one case where it makes no sense at all to see it as similar to the general idea of you have something from another guy. What would that be? A shtar. Because a shtar does not have any innate worth. So when you say, I have his shtar, so what are you going to do with his shtar? A shtar is a piece of paper. That's all it is. It isn't as if you are holding anything of his that has any value. It's not even worth a shovel brut as a piece of paper. And therefore, the problem is, what are you going to do with the shtar? That's not included in our discussion over here. So it's Ramayit Shtarot. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's true. You can't steal a shtar because, after all, the shtar is not the paper. It is the content. And even if anything happened to them, if I wreck them or whatever, that's just a grama, you know, and it's not my responsibility to get them back to him. Mashinkin karka? Karka can be stolen, and therefore, if it's ruined, it's not excluded from these dinim, and I would therefore be chayef to give it back to him, according to Rabbi Eliezer. And the Rabbanan, however, they're darshaning the Torah with klal prado klal. So according to them, we read the pasuk like this. Okay, so this is the opening of a set. What are the contents of the set? Pikadon, tzumet yad, gazel, etc. So those are pratim. Umikol asher yishava alav. That's another klal. What's the deal? Well, klal prado klal, yatadan elakena prado. It has to be things that are similar to the pratim. Now, similar. Well, how would you characterize the pratim? Well, this is the set of all things that are metaltalin, of our metaltel, and have intrinsic value. And gufo momo, just like all of the cases that were mentioned, share in those two issues. But anything which is not that way is not included. So that would exclude karka, because karka is not metaltel. It would exclude avadim, because avadim are mukash lekarkaos, and yatzu shtarot, because it's true that shtarot are movable, but they have no intrinsic value. So ein ufan mamon. So that's the difference. According to the Rabbanan, karka, avadim, or shtarot are not stealable legally, and therefore you're not chayiv in hashava. And if they're damaged in any way by being underwater or whatever it is, that's not your problem. Mashenkin, according to Rebbe Eliezer, it is. How does this explain the machlokas that we're suggesting now is the very machlokas amaroyim between Rebbe Yochanan and Rebbe Eliezer? So, man de mechayev, if you are saying over here that you're chayev for karka, and if you deny that you know the testimony or the idea of the pikadon on a claim for karka, he holds, like Rebbe Eliezer, that karka is like everything else. Masha Enkin, the one who patters from an aide who refuses to give testimony and claims he doesn't know it on karka, he goes according to the Rabbanan. And according to the Rabbanan, whenever it talks about these things that the person is swearing l'sheker, it's excluding karka. Because we darshan is a klal prado klal. Oh my lay, and this was the gemara we had before. Actually, no. The fact is that even manda mechayev, of course, if you're telling me that you are chayiv. It's going according to Rebbe Eliezer, who holds that karka is the same as everything else. But even the one who holds it, your putter, he could say to you that benogea the din of shvua. Here we're talking about the din of hashavas hagzela. There, everything is clear. But when it comes to the impact of that concept of whether karka is considered to be stealable or not, that's not nogea the din of shvua. Because baha, I could say, even Rebbe Eliezer would be made that you do not bring a korban, even though karka is considered to be the same as anything else when it comes to stealing. Why? Because it's only legave stealing that Rebbe Eliezer is saying there's no chiyav. In that case, there is a chiyav for karka like anything else. But when it comes to a shvua, even Rebbe Eliezer is made that karka ain't nishbayin ala karkos. Drachmana Omar, mikol. Notice that the lashon of the pasuk is not kol or bakol. It's mikol asher yishav alav l'sheker. So what does that mean, mikol? From the things, the list of things, but not all of those things. Velo hakol. It should have said kol asher. Since it says only from those things, not all of those things, that is an additional miyat. And therefore, Rebbe Eliezer would agree that when it's talking about shvua, we have the additional mikol, and that excludes karkos from the chiyav of pikadon, of shvuas ha-pikadon. Om Rav Papa Mishmei Derava, if you read the Mishnah carefully, you see that that's got to be true. Because what's the case in the Mishnah? It says over there, a guy says, you stole my shor. And the other person says, I never stole your shor. Mashbiachani yischayev. Why didn't it say a much more meaningful case? It should have said, you stole my eved. Doesn't say, I'll tell you why it doesn't say you stole my eved, my taima. Must be because an eved has the din of karka, and you don't bring a korban on a shvua for kvira shibut karkos, which is exactly what it was that Rabbi Yochanan said. It seems to be quite clear from the Mishnah. We do not bring a korban for karkaot. Omer of Papi Mishmei Derava, but look, if you read the end of the Mishnah, what does it say? Zaklal, kol ha-mishalem al-piyatzmo chayam, v'she'eno mishalem al-piyatzmo batur. Now, can you tell me, please, one case, tell me one case, that this klal adds something to what I didn't know from reading the Mishnah? I know all of this from the Mishnah. Ah, there is one thing that the Mishnah left out and that this klal would be coming to add. And that is precisely the case of ganafta tavdi. Lav latuya ganafta tavdi. So then that means adarabba, that the Tana is saying you are chayev for a shvua on an eved, which is the same as karka, which is a raya against Rabbi Yochanan. So, I mean, obviously, the Mishnah is not coming to be medayik in this nekuda, because if it is, it's simply contradicting itself. So if the Mishnah is not a raya for or against Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, Rabotai, it's been fun, I hope. I know it's quite late, so I'm wishing you all a wonderful Motzei Shabbos Kodesh. Looking forward, don't forget, tonight and tomorrow is the last day of the Miluim of Chag HaShavuos. And we have to go back to the sad Tachanuns and stuff like that. And that means that maybe tomorrow we should have a Ne'ilas HaChag, because remember, Shavuos is really 7 days. So if Bezrat Hashem Rezecha, I look forward to seeing you then tomorrow once again. Kol Tov, see you in the morning. Shavua Tov, Mavurach, Hinei El Yeshuati, Eftach, V'lo Efchat.